Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Catalin Campano, and this week our shows are sponsored by Proofpoint. Let's start off today's show with news that Bitcoin ATMs have been getting hacked across the world after a mysterious threat actor discovered a zero-day vulnerability in the ATM's web-based administration panel. The attacks, which appear to have been taking place since the start of the month, have been targeting Bitcoin ATMs managed via crypto application servers, or CAS, a cloud-based system from Panama-based company General Bytes. In a security alert published on Friday, the company said the attacker scanned the internet to identify CAS servers and then accessed a leftover URL from the installation process. This URL allowed the attackers to re-register the admin panel's default admin user using custom credentials. The attackers then used this access to change the ATM setting, so every time a customer would send money to an ATM to be picked up using an in-person transaction, the funds would be automatically redirected to the attacker's wallets instead. General Bytes said all CAS servers released over the past 2 years are vulnerable. The company said it released patches that should address the vulnerability exploited in the attacks. According to Blipping Computer, there were 18 General Bytes CAS servers still exposed online last week, but more are believed to be hidden behind firewalls since the attacks were first reported. General Bytes said the attacks against its ATMs started 3 days after it added a Help Ukraine feature to its machines earlier this month. Moving on now to other hacking news, InfoSec news outlet Cyber News reported last week that they found a huge data trove of 626 gigabytes of customer data in a non-secured Elasticsearch server that appears to belong to Airplane Accelerates, a free VPN service offered inside China. Cyber News said the data contained a staggering of 5.7 billion data points, including user IDs, what IP addresses users were connecting to and from, domain names, and timestamps. The news outlet said it notified the VPN provider, but decided to publish its report after it didn't receive a reply for more than a month. But we also have some positive news this Monday. While we have gotten accustomed in recent months with cryptocurrency platforms constantly getting hacked over the weekends, Cryptocurrency Bridge Project Seller said it successfully blocked an attack on Friday after a threat actor performed a DNS hijacking attack against its front-end infrastructure. Seller said the attack lasted only a few minutes before it was detected and users only lost $250 as a result, funds that will be able to fully refund. Moving now to government-related news, last week we've learned even more about the impact of Russia's hack of the Viasat satellite internet network. New details were revealed after the French Parliament published the minutes of a closed-doors meeting held by Stéphane Boulon, Secretary General of Defense and National Security, with the French National Assembly in July. Boulon told French MPs that the Viasat hack impacted wind turbines in Germany, but also affected the uptime of two phone numbers used by the French ambulance and firefighting emergency services. In US-related news, Gizmodo reporters found another interesting section in the 3,000 pages of the National Defense Authorization Act, a bill passed by the US House in July, which authorizes Department of Defense activities and expenses for fiscal year 2023. According to Gizmodo, the NDAA includes a clause that will require the DoD to disclose any purchases of smartphone or web browsing data if such purchases target American citizens. The bill still needs to pass the US Senate. Meanwhile in Russia, the country's Ministry of Digital Development is looking at a possible project to provide some sort of financial compensation to Russian citizens who had their personal data leaked online. While no official initiative is currently underway, Kommersant reports that funds for these payments may come from companies who leaked the data in the form of fines the ministry might impose. In Israel, Shalev Hulyo, the CEO of embattled spyware maker NSO Group, will step down from his role, the company announced on Sunday. According to Reuters, CEO Yaron Shohat will be appointed to oversee a reorganization of the company before a successor is named. This marks the second time that Hulyo resigned as NSO CEO after he also resigned in October 2021, but was later forced to come back after his replacement left shortly after being brought on board. Besides Julio's resignation, the company is also rumored to be preparing to let go of around 100 employees as well. In cybercrime-related news, security researchers revealed that the Lockbit ransomware gang has been dealing with a huge DDoS attack that has been targeting its servers over the past weekend. According to a message posted by a Lockbit administrator in the gang's internal chats, packets recorded during the attack carry a message telling the gang to delete an entry from its leak site. That entry contains the data the gang stole from US security firm Entrust in an attack that took place last month. Also in cybercrime news, threat intelligence company CyberInt reported that the Desorden group listed a large number of Thai organizations as victims of their attacks. According to CyberInt, Desorden is a threat actor that was first spotted last year and which operates by breaching organizations, stealing their data, and then trying to extort a ransom payment from victims. In threat intelligence news, researchers from DevOps security firm Sonatype said they found another batch of malicious libraries uploaded on the official NPM and PyPI portals. This time, they found more than 200 packages, all configured to install crypto miners on infected hosts. These findings come after 5 similar incidents were reported last week as well, involving around 50 malicious libraries. Also in new and useful threat intelligence, researchers from cloud security firm Aptix said they have begun seeing the Tox peer-to-peer instant messaging protocol used as a command and control mechanism for some crypto mining operations. Similarly, in another useful threat intelligence report, the team behind Shell Systems published an analysis on a new domain fronting technique abused in the wild to hide malicious traffic. This new technique relies on abusing the services of TYK.io, an API management platform used by a lot of applications worldwide to manage their API calls via the cloud. According to Vitaly Kremez, CEO of Advanced Intelligence, many former members of the Conti ransomware gang are currently abusing this technique in the wild already. In addition, the US government also published some useful information for security teams last week as well. First, CISA added 7 new vulnerabilities to KEV, its database of actively exploited security flaws. These included bugs in Chrome, SAP, Apple, Microsoft, and Palo Alto Network devices. Second, the FBI published a new private industry notification on Thursday, warning US organizations about the use of proxy server networks to spread out credential stuffing attacks across benign residential IP addresses and bypass security defenses for online accounts. As a way to counter these threats, the FBI told organizations to use multi-factor authentication on vulnerable accounts and work on educating users about the dangers of reusing passwords. Moving on to APT and cyber espionage news, Kifu 360 researchers published a report last week detailing new campaigns carried out by the Casablanca threat actor, this time targeting Bangladesh. The report comes after Infinitum IT, a Turkey-based cybersecurity firm, also covered this APT's operations in a similar report earlier this month, this time detailing attacks against Turkey-based victims. In a report last year, Cisco Talas researchers said they believe this group is based in Morocco, which is why they initially named it Casablanca. On the same note of cyber espionage, Japanese security firm NS Focus also published a report on Muron Shark, a new APT group based in the Middle East, whose main target appears to be Turkey. Malware linked to this group includes NiceRender, a malicious Word document builder, Universal Donut, a malware loader, and Let Me Out, a backdoor Trojan. Moving on to bug bounty news, in terms of vulnerability research published in recent days, one of the most interesting reports that we must list today comes from Northwestern student Zhengpeng Ling, who published details about Dirty Cred. Zhengpeng, who disclosed this bug at the Black Hat Security Conference earlier this month, said Dirty Cred is a Linux kernel exploitation concept that can swap unprivileged kernel credentials with privileged ones and grant attackers full control over a system. Similarly, another interesting report from last week that needs to be highlighted came from the Trend Micro ZDI team, who finally published a detailed write-up on CVE-2022-1802, a vulnerability first exploited during the Pwn2Own 2022 hacking contest that took place earlier this year in May in Vancouver, Canada. The vulnerability is unique because it targeted the Firefox renderer, and more specifically, a component written in JavaScript, a memory-safe language. And last but not least, we had several new InfoSec tools published over the past week that we'd also like to mention in today's show. The first is Bbot, an OSINT automation framework developed by Black Lantern Security. The second is HijackLibs, a web portal to list and keep a record of all publicly disclosed DLL hijacking techniques. This project was put together by that security researcher, Vice Bökema. The third is an update to Windows Feature Hunter, a tool created by IBM X-Force researcher Chris Penn that can identify DLL and COM hijacking opportunities in Windows features. This new update was inspired by techniques used by the DREADX malware and expanded the original tool's detection capabilities by more than 10 times. This does it for today's show. Today's podcast was sponsored by Proofpoint, and you can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in the show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.